Praise the Lord, church. Don't we serve an awesome, awesome God? Such a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in this place. I just want to say that that song that our deaf ministry sang was absolutely beautiful. A powerful song. If you've ever listened to the words of that song, that is a very, very powerful, powerful song. And I want to thank our deaf ministry. Also, we did our kids do a tremendous job last week, our Sunday school program. Did a great job. I like that, in a Galilee far, far away. And then one other thing before we get into the word today. We mentioned Brother Jim Dagg. Some of you, if you're not for sure who Jim and Dell are, he's a brother. They're ushers. They meet us, or greeters. They meet us out in the vestibule on Sunday mornings, and he's in a wheelchair, and they usually sit back behind the Rossings back there. He has had a number of health issues. He's had a serious stroke in the past, as well as heart attack, and he did have a heart attack this past week that kind of sent him on a downhill spiral. And my wife and I, we were up there late last night, actually early this morning, before we got home, and it's not looking very good for Brother Jim. And he was in good spirits, as Jim always is. We're going to do this, Pastor. And we talked, we prayed, had a good time of prayer. And he says, I'm ready to go meet Jesus. I will walk again. It may not be in this life with this body, but I will walk again. So just continue to pray for Brother Jim and Sister Dell. So you can be seated this morning. I'm going to be reading a little longer passage. Brother Dan kind of read part of this, I guess, in the introduction to the song, Mary, Did You Know? Reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 16 through 25. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to Jacob are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary, who was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which she conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm so thankful for that right there. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we would be in sin and no way out. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to speak to you just for a few moments today on fighting the distractions of Christmas. Reading the Christmas story, we read it and we think it's such a beautiful, peaceful story. I was out this past week, was out yesterday for a little bit, not for long. I just have to tell you, I don't like heavy traffic. I don't like crowded stores. The lines were long, and a lot of times, especially this time of year, I'm just not in the mood to deal with all of that. You see, many people, it's funny if you go to a shopping store or to the mall and you see husbands wandering around aimlessly as though they are zombies, following after a wife, perhaps a few teenage daughters, and maybe a reluctant teenage son as they meander down the hallways of Costco and the aisles. And many people just waiting in line for hours after hours after hours to get that good deal. Have you noticed that even though we talk about simplifying life and keeping Christ at the center of our celebration, keeping Christ in Christmas? Yesterday I said Merry Christmas to someone in a store, and I was amazed at their response. I expected sometimes they look at you and say, well, happy holidays to you, which by their tone you can tell that Christmas isn't on their list of things they like to say. It's just, I find it mind-boggling that we're going to take and be so hypocritical that we're going to take Christmas and we're going to not celebrate Christmas at Christmas, and we're going to celebrate it at something else. It's the birth of Christ. I don't know if he was born on December 25th. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I don't get caught up on whether he was born on December 25th or June 25th or July 1st or August 10th or September. It doesn't matter to me when he was born. What matters to me is his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what matters to me. So I'm sorry this morning if you get hung up over Christmas trees in our sanctuary, all this kind of stuff. As pastor, I'm just going to be very blunt, very polite. Get a life. It'll be gone. You can breathe easy. But you see, the devil wants us to do nothing more than to turn our focus from the real message of Christmas. He wants nothing more than to get us all caught up in wrapping paper and parties and details and Christmas lights, because that's what he's good at. He's good at distracting us. I made this statement years ago, and it wasn't my statement, but if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And we get so caught up, we get so busy. And this morning, we not only want to face the inevitable distractions, but we want to learn how to deal with those distractions. But first, we have to admit that Christmas has its distractions. The first Christmas, when we look at the first Christmas, I've seen so many serene depictions of the manger, and we have this image that was a great image. Like, it was so easy for Mary and Joseph. I don't know about you, but being 9 months pregnant with child, I can't imagine riding from Nazareth to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey. I don't know what your thoughts are, ladies, but I think many of you would have a hard time riding that distance in a very comfortable Cadillac. When you're ready to have that child, it doesn't matter. The last conversation I had with Cecily before she gave birth to Arlo, she was here at church, and she's just like, I said, how you doing, Cecily? And Cecily fashion, she's like, I just want to get this over with. I want this baby out of me. We think that because they were faithful, and they did what the angel said to them, that there was no obstacles to overcome. And I think we are so very, very wrong. Now, I can't prove any of these things. The Bible doesn't cover any of these, doesn't mention any of these. But childbirth today is, from what I understand, is extremely painful without any type of a pain medication. Now, you take that and you put that inside some sort of a rustic stable. Mary had all kinds of distractions in her life. The Bible says a virgin shall conceive. I listened to a man on YouTube this past week, and he was arguing the fact that Mary was not a virgin. And he was emphatic about that, and he was talking about how the Bible doesn't say. Yes, it does. A virgin shall conceive. And with that conception, as many of you husbands that are here to attest as a witness to the fact that ladies, when they get pregnant, things begin to change in their bodies. I'm going to tread very lightly here. Because, man, I've never experienced this. I had a kidney stone once, and they said that was close. But it didn't last 9 months. But the hormone changes that happen in her body. I'm pretty sure that when Mary conceived the first month or so, nobody may have even noticed anything. But after a while, and she gets that little baby bump, and Mary and Joseph are not married, and all of a sudden now Mary is pregnant, all of the public eye is looking at them too. And they got married, but people knew that the reason behind it was that Joseph had gotten her pregnant. They didn't understand. They didn't have a meeting with Gabriel. Gabriel didn't announce to the whole world. He announced to Mary and Joseph. So you have the disapproving spotlight of public opinion. You have the bad timing of the trip to Bethlehem. Why couldn't they have paid their taxes at 4 months and come back and deliver the baby in the comforts of their home? The bad timing and uncomfortable ride on a donkey. Mary faced a very difficult time, but according to Scripture, she faced it with grace and truth. She believed what Gabriel said. And she lived it, she believed it, she followed it. Oh yes, there were times of difficulty, but she is a perfect example of faithfulness. But that was not because things were easy. It's because her heart was right. Now you look at Joseph, a new marriage without consummation, a pregnancy that he didn't cause. You have egos involved in this. The responsibility of providing for a family, dealing with not only just the pressures of Mary being pregnant before they're married, but I said I was going to tread lightly here, but you have the dealings of a moody wife. I'm not going to ask you husbands to raise your hand because I want to have you to have a peaceful afternoon, but I remember when my wife was giving birth to Lana, our only daughter, she got mad at me. She told me to get out of the room. Get out of here. You did this to me. Go. That's what she said. So I went. Back then, they had waiting rooms for the fathers, and there was a half a dozen of us in here that probably got sent in there because their wives were mad. So we're in there watching football. And she's in there having contractions every 2 minutes. Now, I know what 2 minutes feels like when you're having a contraction. I've watched, but, you know, in football, they got the two-minute warning. That can go on for 30 minutes. So I understand. Joseph, could imagine the anxiety of trying to take care of mother and child, making this trip to pay his taxes, knowing that she's this close to giving birth. And then you get to Bethlehem and you can't find a motel room anywhere. Nothing. You see, Joseph too faced this pregnancy with many, many things on his mind. No doubt he had a lot of friends that were giving him unsolicited counsel to what he needs to do in this situation. But Gabriel spoke to him and said, yet Joseph, in all of this distraction, he remained faithful. Certainly we want to be known as faithful as we celebrate this Christmas season, but we will face inevitable distractions. We're going to face distractions of shortage of funds. I've had a lot of Christmases where I just wanted so much to provide for the family and give them what they wanted, but I didn't have the funds to do so. Maybe facing the distraction of loneliness. Maybe you're not going to have a very good Christmas this year because you're going to be by yourself. Sometimes we face the distraction of just there's more to do than energy you have to do it. I'm in that boat right now. There's a whole lot more to do in life than I have the energy to do it. Expectations from others that need to be met, maybe your children, your wife, confronting the distractions of Christmas. We recognize that Mary and Joseph faced distractions, and yet they remained faithful. However, we can be left to speculate as to the strategies. How did they do this? So we can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. Apostle Paul writes, it's not anything related to the Christmas story, but it's related to the distractions of life. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. So 5 times he was beaten, 40 lashes save one, 39 lashes. 5 times, 3 times I was beaten with rods. I think my dad did that more than 3 times when we were growing up. Not for sure if it was the same type of a rod, though. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, dangers from bandits and city, from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles. I've been in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers, false accusations. I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Paul knew what it was like to face distractions. In the book of Philippians, which we just covered in our last series, he's sitting in jail. and we can see some of his philosophy of facing life's daily grind. And in these principles today, we can find some things to help us face the inevitable distractions that would turn us from the real meaning of the season. There are many demands, constant deadlines, tensions in relationships. In the midst of the Christmas rush, we find ourselves that the reason for celebration this season is not the decorations, it's not the presents, it's not the carols, or any of these surface things, but the real reason for joy is in Jesus. The joy of the Lord. It's the distracting situations we need to remember that we are loved by our Father. Remember that He holds our hand in every situation. And remember that He promises to lead us home. And remember that He promises that nothing will separate us from His love. So, our reason for joy is in the Lord. We want to fight the distractions of Christmas. Just remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember that song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength"? If you want joy, you must laugh for it. When is the last time you had just a good old hearty laugh? Think about that. I thought about that the other day, and I was like, you know, it's been a long time since I've had just a good old hearty laugh. Now, we could all just sit here and say, okay, I want everybody to laugh and everybody do their best. Ha, 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 ha. But we don't always have the joy of the Lord in that, do we? Another distracting part of Christmas, and this is the one that gets me. Distracting people. Distracting people. They're rude shoppers, impolite checkout people, pushy relatives. Not mine. I'm just saying generically, okay. It is Christmas. We're celebrating Christmas this afternoon at Lon and Marvin, so I don't want to start a fight before we get there. You're not pushy, Marvin. Notice I said Marvin. I got that eyebrow look. Neither is Lana, unless it's something she really wants. She gets that from her mother. Actually, no. I'm going to move on. I want to experience the joy of the Lord this afternoon. No matter what you say to some people, they're just like Scrooge. It doesn't matter. Merry Christmas. Yeah, right. Merry back to you. Somebody speaks a sharp word and you respond. Somebody pushes and you push back. Here's one. Somebody drives like an idiot. Just the other day, I'm like, I can't believe how crazy people are driving now. What is it? We're turning into Seattle. How did this happen? It's like Chicago. Good Lord. They use their vehicle as a weapon. Don't look so innocent out there. It's happened to you, and maybe at times you were that weapon. I know it's happened to me. Someone cuts in front of you at the checkout line, and guess what happens? You've been waiting there for 30 minutes. You cut in front of me. You get to Menards, and you can't figure out where the line begins and ends, and it just keeps going, and there's that little break in there so people can get through from one side of the store to the other. So the lines are going down that aisle, and you think you can just buzz into that little break, and you just start a fight. Being unkind, petty, or mean. We think about this. When someone says thank you and have a Merry Christmas, you just smile and you say thank you and Merry Christmas to you also. You think about this. These poor cashiers have been sitting behind that cashier's counter dealing with all sorts of likes of people like you and me that are supposed to be Christ-like on Christmas. And we didn't get our right coupon and from Kohl's. You wanted a 30% and you only got a 5%. Second, we have to remember angry people are hurting people. And hurting people do not need anger in return. They need the love of Jesus. That Scrooge-like person may be negative because the holiday reminds them of pain. Maybe it reminds them of loneliness and a loss of a loved one. A wise person once taught me, when you see someone who's angry, look for the pain. Look for the pain. A hurting person doesn't need someone to dig that into that wound and make it worse. They just need someone to say, hey, I'm here. Merry Christmas. And the biggest point that you can make, and the biggest difference you can make, is the difference of the love and the kindness of Jesus Christ. After all, it is his birth. This is the reason why we're even celebrating this time of year. Remember that saying, Jesus is the reason for the season? Would you want appreciation? Or would you want rudeness? Our mail carriers, I tell you, my mailman the other day driving out of Cottage Grove, he was. I've never seen a mail truck drive so fast. He passed me at a red light, and the light was red, and he passed me and blasted right through the red light. I'm just going to say, it ticked me off. In my mind, I was catching him up. And when he pulled off the road for that first stop on our road, I was going to let him know that he represents the U.S. Postal Service and your $4 billion in debt. Don't make it worse. But instead, we put peanut brittle in the mailbox. Say Merry Christmas. You know what? On the way to church this morning, who goes blasting past us the opposite direction but our postman? What's he doing? He's delivering some socks, probably, that I ordered. And I'm the reason that he's having to drive rocket speed in a little Cracker Box post box truck. Look at all of this. During this season, as you stand to your feet and our musicians can come, we can laugh, we can enjoy some humor, but not everyone in our world is laughing and enjoying humor because they have not experienced Jesus like we've experienced Jesus. They're caught up in the wrappings, the trimmings, the lights, the trees. All of this stuff is a distraction for them. But during this season, the most determined intentions of the world are going to encounter distractions. We can either perpetuate the cycle of unhappiness in our lives and in our families' lives, or we can break that cycle. You may have 5 Christmases ahead of you this season. I don't know. We have so many families that have multiple Christmases now. I don't know what your Christmas looks like, but I just want to encourage you. You can fight the distraction of Christmas, and you can invite the peace, the Prince of Peace, into your home, into your heart, into your Christmas. But I want to close with a warning. It takes focus and determination. This morning, we've kind of just very quickly went through some practical wisdom for handling distractions. But if you do these things, just be careful. Because some of these things may take a little bit longer than just the 3 days we have before Christmas. We talk about life principles a lot here at Calvary, and over the last 10 years, I've taught a lot of life principles because we live life. And I want to live my life principled. I want to live my life not following after, I'm going to age myself, Dr. Spock and some of those great, I want to pattern my life after this right here. I want to see people as Jesus saw people, hurting, frustrated, beat up, beat down, looking for a Savior. So with you, my friend, these last few days, this big push before Christmas, when you're out shopping or you're with family, you're fighting the distractions of Christmas, you can remember and you can tell them the real Christmas story. It's not Santa Claus and a bunch of reindeer. It's Jesus. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday be our Savior? Someday save the world. So as our worship team leads us into worship, I just want you today, if you'd like to come down to the front and pray, you're welcome to. But I want, before we leave, can we just lift our hands? Can we thank the Lord as we worship in song? Thank Him.